John chapter 20, beginning at verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they will be forgiven. And if you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, Lord, we pray that we might believe, we might put our trust in you afresh as we hear and receive your holy word. That we might know your life welling up in us today and every day. Amen. I just want to be very, very simple this morning and recognize that the presence and the appearances of Jesus in his resurrection body to these disciples reveal two sets of things about Jesus. Firstly, his presence and his peace, and secondly, his purpose and his power. His presence and his peace, his purpose and his power. Firstly, St. John records this extraordinary appearance and these words that Jesus came and stood among them. Behind locked doors, the disciples were frightened and bewildered, and yet Jesus came and stood among them. This was characteristic of our Lord, especially in these resurrection appearances, always taking the initiative. And Jesus Christ continues to take that initiative and will come to us, even though we might feel as if we are behind locked doors. We might feel that we are contained within barriers that we can't break out of, or that it's impossible for others to penetrate the doors of fear, the doors of hurt, the doors that are locked, that we don't want anyone else near, thank you very much. the sort of things that Ruth alluded to earlier in our service. But they are doors that Jesus can penetrate and come with love, come with healing, come with forgiveness, and his life can flow as a result. And it seems that all we need to do is to welcome him. There's a marvelous prayer which I've long loved by Brother Roger of the Taizé community. Christ, Saviour of all life, you come to us always. Welcoming you in the presence, in the peace of our nights, in the silence of our days, in the beauty of creation, in the hours of great combat within, welcoming you is knowing that you will be with us in every situation, always. Amen. With his presence, Christ brings peace. Verses 19 and 20. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. This is the Hebrew greeting, shalom. All is well. All is as well as God intends it to be. Shalom, peace be with you. The very words that we speak to one another and have done already. They are so powerful. They are so healing. They are so life-giving. Shalom. We know that as we saw the disciples there in our mind's eye, we put ourselves in their shoes or in their sandals for a moment. How might we be feeling? We've seen Jesus betrayed by one of their closest friends. They abandoned him. They did nothing to stand up for him. Peter even denied knowing him. Surely they will have felt ashamed, guilty, and utterly desolate. But Jesus comes and they see him. And their reaction, quite understandably, is one of fear. But the look in his eyes is not one of anger, but rather is one of overwhelming love. Quite often we think of ourselves when we've done things wrong. We think, how can I come before God? I feel so ashamed. And it can be a barrier. It can be a place where we feel locked in. One of the reasons why we can feel locked in is that we feel we can't express our sorrow and Jesus will condemn us. But God, said Jesus, doesn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved, might be healed. And his eyes, as we sang already, are eyes of love. And his words carry that full force of forgiveness. Peace be with you. He showed them his hands and his side, and he assured them, it really is me. The cost of all that rejection and sin and betrayal was incalculable. Behold his hands and side. It is real, the cost of our sin. The pain of Jesus was a reality. Jesus wanted to assure them of that. They had to face what happened on that Good Friday. It was no nightmare from which they would wake up. But he wanted to show them his hands and his feet, and later to Thomas, his side, to convince them that it was a real thing, but the peace that comes from that is also real. It is a peace that breaks out when those who have been hurt have made that most sacrificial decision to let go of past and to forgive. It is a peace of reconciliation that was won on the cross, as St. Paul declared, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting our sins against us. And Jesus came to them, and through the assurance of his complete forgiveness, through his death, through his pierced hands and feet and side, came the gift of God's peace. Then, writes St. John, the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. I think they looked straight in his eyes and saw his love. Maybe he saw his tears. Maybe they felt tears welling up. What must that moment have been like? That they found that joy bursting through the chains and liberating them from a feeling of shame. It was the joy of Easter. Just as Jesus had promised them in the upper room that their grief would turn to joy, so they experienced the joy of Easter in its full intensity. I don't need to spell out the implications for our own lives. I just want to be silent for a moment and ask the Lord to speak to us in the moment of silence now. How do I feel in the presence of God? How does he look at me? Let's just be still a moment. Lord, may we see you with the eyes of faith. Not faithless, but believing. And Lord, may we respond to you, my Lord and my God, because we've seen you looking at us. We don't need to place our hand in your side. But we know it's you, and we fall before you. His presence and his peace. But Jesus didn't leave it there, because he had a purpose for them, and he was going to give them the power to fulfill that purpose. In verse 21, John records, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. In the same way that the Father has sent me, said Jesus, with his same motivation, that same desire to see the world healed, to see justice restored, to see joy overflow, to see the brokenhearted comforted, to see the abandoned given an assurance of fatherhood. In the same way that the Father has sent me, I am sending you. This was the commission of the disciples. This was the same thing that Matthew picked up in his great commission to the disciples later on in his account of the resurrection. And it was the purpose of their lives from then on to proclaim by deeds and words the gospel of the risen and crucified Christ. But how were they to do it? How on earth were they to do it? As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them. Notice that's really important. And with that. They are not separate things. They are together. The commissioning is accompanied with the promise of power. Because Jesus knows that it is impossible to do fruitful work in the kingdom without the power of the Spirit. Apart from me, says Jesus in John 15, you can do nothing that's going to be fruitful. And so he breathes on them. This symbolic action is that action that we hear in the prophets of Ezekiel. God breathing on these dead bones and bringing them alive. For without the power of God, God's purposes cannot be accomplished. And we've already prayed for forgiveness, that we've sought to live in our own strength and not by the power of the resurrection. And I think this is a huge challenge for us, because we're all, well, most of us, I know, are working flat out, many long hours, not enough sleep, especially those bringing up young children or nursing elderly relatives or got terribly demanding jobs, whatever it might be. And some feel absolutely at the end of their rope. For most, life is tough, demanding. And doing God's will is certainly not the easy option, as Jesus found on Calvary and in Gethsemane. So I think the challenge for us and for me and for all of us as his disciples is to find a way of receiving this life, this breath of life. Because Jesus didn't just breathe on those disciples then, he continually is breathing upon us. It's hard to receive it. That's the challenge. It's hard to receive it. But there have been countless people down the ages, such as St. Ignatius, Mother Teresa, Teresa of Avila, many, many saints who have used a simple practice of breathing in and breathing out to receive that life of God. And maybe as we perhaps did some spiritual disciplines through Lent, we can practice a spiritual discipline through this next 40 days, this great 40 days of Easter. The simple action of breathing in and breathing out that which is worrying us and that which we feel is, Lord, I'm just out of breath. But then breathing in the Spirit and the breath of God, imagining the breath of Jesus filling us and breathing out again all that stuff, that anxiety, that frenetic things that just make us feel stressed, and then breathing in the love and peace of God. And if we were to do that just for 30 seconds each day, beginning of the day, I believe we would see a change in one another. You'd see a change in me, because there would be something more of the breath of God that would enable us to be his people who are sent out in the power of his Spirit, who are full of peace and forgiveness and grace. So for us now, as for those fearful friends in that upper room, Jesus is present. He speaks to us peace. He gives us a purpose and the promise of power. May we, by his grace, enter into that future. Amen.